Ridge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. From Missouri to Mississippi, a deadly weekend across the southern part of the country. ABC Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z has more on what happened.
At least 40 people killed from the system that brought wind-driven fires, dust storms, and dozens of twisters.
That's a tornado.
12 people killed in tornadoes in Missouri alone. 3 people were killed in hard-hit Tylertown, Mississippi. An EF2 tornado, winds up to 111 miles per hour.
Millions of people are in the path of more potentially dangerous weather as that same storm system moves further east. The Kremlin confirms President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin will talk this week, tomorrow probably, but Russian officials won't say what the discussions will be about. The president says they'll be talking about ending the war in Ukraine. More than 50 people were killed in a nightclub fire in North Macedonia over the weekend. Auburn, the top overall seed in the NCAA men's basketball tourney. UCLA, the number one seed for the women. Play begins this week. This is ABC News. In the Middle East, tensions are escalating once again as the Trump administration orders a new round of strikes against the Iranian-backed Houthi rebels. ABC News contributor and former Marine Colonel Steve Ganyard says it's meant to send a message to Iran.
There was a carrot and a stick in the comments that we've seen from the president in the past week, and that is you can either sign a piece of paper where we agree to dismantle your nuclear weapons program, or there's going to be military consequences. So this is a signal to for it's not just the Houthis that are being signaled here. It's the Iranians that are being signaled here.
A French lawmaker is calling on the United States to give back the Statue of Liberty, saying the U.S. no longer represents the value Lady Liberty stands for under the Trump administration. St. Patrick's Day being marked in cities across the country. New York holds one of the oldest parades in the U.S. It steps off this morning along Fifth Avenue in Manhattan with 150,000 participants and 2 million spectators expected. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to preventchildabuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
March Madness is here. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the brackets are out. The Badgers play in Denver Thursday afternoon at 12:30 against Montana in the Ball Arena in Denver for the opening round of the NCAA basketball tournament. Marquette is going back to the dance. They face New Mexico Friday night in Cleveland. Head coach Shaka Smart.
This is a date that, as a basketball player or a basketball coach, you have circled on your calendar way before the season even starts. And it's something like 18% of teams end up playing in the NCAA tournament. So we don't take for granted even being in the NCAA tournament. This is really an acknowledgement today of the fact that our guys earned the right to be in the tournament, and now it's all about what we do with it.
NBA, the Bucks losing to the Thunder 121-105. Damian Lillard on how the Thunder were different than the team they beat in the NBA Cup last December.
I just think, you know, obviously they are who they are. They defend, you know, they move the ball, they got a deep team, and I just thought that we played a better game the first time.
That's Damian Lillard with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. You've heard of Ted Lasso, the Apple TV show that premiered during the COVID-19 pandemic. It came at the right time and seemed to make people warm and fuzzy all over and give them much-needed laughs. We could use more of that now, and according to Variety, the show is coming back for a fourth season. Ted will be portrayed by Christopher Walken. Just kidding, even though I think that would be hilarious. Jason Sudeikis returns to the show that garnered 66 Emmy nominations and 13 wins. The exact release date has not yet been mentioned. SNL 50 happened weeks ago, but Variety is reporting that Bill Murray got very emotional during the festivities. The actor appeared on the Sway Calloway show and admitted to crying three times throughout the broadcast, especially losing it when a clip of the late Gilda Radner appeared, saying he loved Gilda and absolutely came apart when he saw her on screen. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy and warmer today. We'll get to around 54 this afternoon. The wind will be a little breezy this morning, but it should die down by this afternoon. Tonight, 27. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 47 with snow in the afternoon. And again tomorrow night, there could be several inches by the time it winds down on Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we talk aliens with paranormal investigator Todd Michaels, and Flix Brewhouse brewmaster Dave Hansen joins the show to talk about the new Nightlight beer. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, pro-coconut, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network, 7:06 on this Monday, March 17th. We're Greg Bach has been trying for the entire news break to convince us that there's something wrong with liking coconut and Girl Scout Samoa cookies. And
there's something wrong with Greg.
There's something wrong with Greg instead this time. Look, I've checked. We've taken a vote here, and it was Tony up in Ashland who commented on YouTube, Greg, wrong on pineapple, right on coconut. No, Tony, no, we're hiding that comment right there.
Wait.
That's fine.
I like, well, that's a pizza reference. He's referencing pineapple on pizza, but pineapple alone is good. Nothing? Oh, fine. I'm alone in my principles. I see. I can't even get a doctorate degree with me on fruit. Okay, cool.
Greg, everyone likes Samoas either. She doesn't like coconut, so there. It's like...
That's my new best friend right there.
There you go. Here's Brittany Merlot, who is going to take us away from food chat and into weather chat, because again, at some point, the chat on Wednesday from some folks in Wisconsin is going to be words we can't say on the radio because the snow is coming back again. Brittany, how are you?
No, I am fantastic. We have a great day today. So
good. We'll take that. Right? And lacrosse, 80 on Friday, was it last week?
Isn't that wild?
Yes.
Yeah. 80. Degrees. My goodness. We felt like the middle of summer, honestly. It really honestly felt like that. And then we had those storms roll through, snow on the back end of it. And we've got a whole nother round headed our way as soon as tomorrow night and into our Wednesday. So what we're doing today is warming things up. Temperatures right now are actually backwards. It's 18 degrees in Milwaukee, and it's 34 degrees into Eau Claire. So it's actually colder down south, warmer up to the northwest, because there's a little bit of cloud cover up north that allowed us to stay a little bit warmer overnight. So what we're doing today, it's going to get breezy. Winds are going to be gusting up to about 30 to 40 miles per hour, warming us up. And of course, with the sunshine, the dry conditions, and the high winds, a high fire danger is still in place. So no burning out there. Highs today will reach the low 60s into the western part of the state, and then we'll hit the low 50s closer to Lake Michigan on the eastern half of the state. And then tomorrow, still mild, clouds increasing, still low 60s, and then we're looking at rain rolling in at night for a good chunk of the state, but snow to the northwest turning into a wintry mix. Whiteout conditions are expected, accumulations over a half of a foot to nearly a foot into portions of northwest Wisconsin, where a winter storm watch is already out for Eau Claire, and I think that's going to make its way into Wausau area and then off towards Hurley and up that direction. So that's right now where the track looks to hit. And again, this is going to be some heavy, wet snowfall paired with winds, whiteout conditions all Tuesday night and into our Wednesday.
Okay. Any Irish over there on the Merlot side of things?
No, but okay. I can be Irish today. I like to pretend. How about you guys?
That's
see?
That, yes.
See what I said?
Pretend.
Everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day.
This is a pro pretend radio program here. Tony notes, I'm Irish on my coffee cup side. we're not going to check what's in the coffee cup today. Alicia says not a bit of Irish over here either. I know somewhere in this mailbag is Rob from Tigerton. There it is. Good morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day from Tigerton. Partly cloudy and 24. He remembers St. Patrick's Day 2012 when it was 82 degrees that day. He said he watched a lot of basketball over the weekend. Kristen talked earlier about the 89-90 Golden Gopher basketball team. The Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets had a lethal weapon there, but it was also the year that UNLV won the national championship. He writes, Cheeseburger in Paradise was a favorite song back in the day. Van Halen's Jump was the number one song when he got his driver's license on March 27th, 1984. He remembers that he always used to buy his mom corned beef on St. Patrick's Day, and he missed that since her passing. And he says, I hope five of the best people on radio and social media have a super St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, so there you go.
Yeah, and then just to add insult
to injury,
I love coconut cream pie.
I was really hoping that Rob's going to come out for me on the end on that one. Like at least one says, ally.
No pineapples on
pizza.
I don't
understand how y'all just get Jesus in your life or something. I don't know.
Brittany, thank you very much.
Thanks, Brittany.
Have a wonderful day. Again, you can sign up for our daily newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. You get not only our Monday through Friday edition that Christina Laurie puts together, but there's also a weekend edition that I put out on Sundays as well. Christina's newsletter today talks about some of the Irish festivities that you can find around Wisconsin, like the city of New London changes its name one day a year to New Dublin every year like that. There's also some weird alcohol laws on the books in Wisconsin, things that relate to happy hours and alcohol sales. And of course, maybe the goofiest one for some folks, how underage people are allowed to legally drink in a bar if they're with their parents. Mm-hmm. That is an only in Wisconsin kind of thing, and you can sign up to read it all over at upnorthnewswi.com. We also asked in Sunday morning's newsletter your feelings on the economy, A to D, from optimistic to pessimistic, and there's a whole lot of C's and D's that are coming in there right now with folks who are none too happy about the state of things, and people saying that you can comment on it by voting in the April 1st election, especially for state Supreme Court. And Selena is going to be playing some sound from interviews that she did during our event last week in Madison, including Dr. Eliza Bennett, an OBGYN, because Dr. Lyerly was otherwise involved. But had you been at the event last week, you too would have been able to talk about the importance of voting in that April 1st Supreme Court election, no doubt.
Yes. Did you want me to say something?
That's usually what I do here. Is I usually
always
provide that lead in
and expert opinions.
Maybe this is a great opportunity to tell you that you too can get involved tomorrow in Madison, 2:45 in the afternoon. It's going to be a beautiful day at the state capitol when we are rallying for reproductive rights. The amazing Time Magazine Woman of the Year, Amanda Zarowski, is going to be there with us, telling her story, revving us up. There are so many Wisconsinites who do not know about this election. I know that's hard to believe, but there are a lot of people out there who they're not expecting it. So get out there, call your friends, ask them to vote. Early voting starts tomorrow.
That's right. And we'll hear more about this in about 20 minutes now from Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area is going to be here and talking about his new column, which is all about how Wisconsin voters can send a message to the entire country. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to do it pretty much themselves because national Democrats are in a bit of a pickle these days after last week's budget vote in Congress. There's a lot of, shall we say, consternation. What's the word I'm looking for? No, disarray right now at the national level. So Wisconsin voters, you're going to have to get it done yourselves come April 1st. So, Selena, we've heard from Dr. Lyerly on the importance of the election, but Dr. Bennett, who took part in our Protecting Justice for All event last week in Madison, also had a few thoughts on this, right?
She did. I talked to her about, you know, she said when she practiced, she, you know, was through Dobbs and everything, just like we talked to Dr. Lyerly about all of the time, and how difficult it was for her and for her patients and for having to go elsewhere. And she just said, I do not want to do that again. And so it's very important. You might not think about voting in an April 1st election for the Supreme Court, but it's very important because for all of those patients, for all of those doctors that have to treat them, and for a lot of other reasons. So this is Dr. Eliza Bennett from Wisconsin.
Well, unfortunately, reproductive health is on the ballot, and it is going to continue to be on the ballot for the foreseeable future. So what happened in 2022 when Roe versus Wade was overturned by the Dobbs decision made it so that every state has a determination for what happens with reproductive health in their individual states. And we are subject to the whims of the political climates and to court decisions to determine what kind of reproductive access people will have in our state going forward. So this election and every election are incredibly important for those rights.
And I wouldn't have, I didn't ask this of Dr. Bennett, Dr. Lyerly, but I think that she would have said something similar to what we've talked about previously, that a lot of people who went into med school, became doctors, were taking care of their patients, we're not expecting to be quite this vocal, to be taking part in panel discussions and having rallies on the Capitol lawn and things like that. It was not something that you and other doctors sought out, but when the circumstances are thrust upon you, you kind of got to answer the bell.
We are not trained to do public speaking. We are not trained to work with media. We are trained to sit in an exam room and listen to you and help you figure out what the best path forward is for you individually. But, you know, this has not just affected OBGYN doctors. It hasn't just affected the family medicine doctors who deliver babies, but emergency medicine doctors, pulmonologists, cardiologists, you name it. Pregnant women are taken care of by all different people, all different kinds of specialties. It is affecting our healthcare system, and it is really displaying the frays in our healthcare system, the problems that we have with access, especially in rural communities.
Yeah. We're going to hear a couple more folks that Selena will share with us in just a moment, but I also wanted to know, we have not yet talked about our Friday interview with Brittany Kinzer, who is a candidate for state superintendent on April 1st, and Alicia notes, I wasn't impressed with Brittany Kinzer and how she responded to Pat's questions on Friday. And Tony followed up on YouTube with Alicia, it was a great interview to show why you should vote for Dr. Underly. So there were my own take on it. And again, you can go back and catch it over at civicmedia.us. Just look for the Up North News show page. But there was there were some very long answers trying to talk about, you know, the kids' feelings about education. And then when I would try to steer her back toward, you know, the cost of private school vouchers, I'd get the, well, you're interrupting me. And I would answer the question, but you keep interrupting me. It's like, well, I'd kind of like to get you to the point here. And yeah. to that end, I believe she will be on Earl's show this morning. Brittany Kinzer will be. And so I would suggest tuning in and maybe finding out a bit more about her candidacy and her answering Earl's questions about the race. So look for that coming up, but we will talk more about the Supreme Court race with Selena Heller, Dr. Lyerly, and then coming up with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, and then Jane Matinere before we wrap things up on a Monday morning, 17th of March. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness and, more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Kristen Lyerly just dancing all over, her hair swaying like she's in a Whitesnake video or something. And doing that big overbite that you do when you're listening to Van Halen.
That's your overbite, Pat.
Yeah. I got that.
That was good.
Yeah, thank you.
They're so good.
I don't think I've ever seen you do that.
And you never will again. Uh-huh. Van Halen's 1984 peaked at number 2 on the album charts this weekend. Anybody? Anybody?
1985.
1984. Sorry. Selena Heller is back with us now talking about our event last week, Protecting Justice for All. And State Representative Supreme Moore Omukunde was there as well. And Representative Omukunde talked a bit about the stakes of the race. And he really, I think he made a really great case. It sounded, Selena, to me like you were asking people, like if you were talking to either an undecided voter or somebody who hadn't decided whether to vote or not, about why they should show up on April 1st?
Yeah, pretty much. Because like I said before, like it's a Supreme Court election. Why do you need to? Because a lot of people don't. So what's important? And so we talked about that. We talked about the Tesla case going on in Wisconsin and how that may influence some things with Elon Musk. Involvement in the race. And so he talked about the importance of having an impartial judge in that seat.
All right, let's give a listen.
What's on this ballot is judicial competence, judicial impartiality, and making sure that the billionaires and millionaires are not buying the courts in the state of Wisconsin. This is our one chance, our initial chance to push back against what's happening in Washington, D.C. Whether you like it or you don't like it, you voted for it or you didn't vote for it, you know that people at the federal government should not be ransacking our departments and telling us what's good for ourselves. We should vote because we want our maps the same. We want our maps to be fair. We want them to be balanced. We want our contracts with the federal government to be recognized and secure. And that's the only way you can ensure that that happens is by voting for an impartial judge in this race.
He really encapsulates all the various ways that somebody can look at what's happening right now. And as Joseph Pecky put it so well, is to say enough and to cast that ballot right here. And then during our debate watch party, which followed the forum, we had a drop in by former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, who was meeting with folks. And sure sounds like you got the former lieutenant governor, Selena, to talk in a similar vein about, you know, the reasons why this race is so important.
Yeah, we chatted and I just kind of pulled him aside and said, you know, let everybody know what, why is this race affecting people's everyday lives? What will it do? And he kind of led into, you know, it's like we were talking about, it's kind of been tumultuous in the last several weeks. So this is how we answer to that.
This is a chance for voters to get to have another say. It has been an incredibly disastrous, not even 2 months yet. People have seen their lives dependent. People have seen their communities just unfortunately sit in jeopardy because they don't know what's going to happen next. They don't know what federal program, what federal services are going to get cut, or what federal employees that help keep the neighborhood stable are going to have a job the next day. And so if you're frustrated by what's going on in Washington, D.C., you have a chance to make your voice heard right here in Wisconsin with the Supreme Court election. And if you're upset at the fact that Elon Musk has this outsized influence, the world's most wealthy individual is taking the jobs of working class Americans, seemingly with impunity. If you want to have a say-so in that, you can vote against Elon Musk's handpicked candidate for the state Supreme Court, his bankrolled candidate for the Supreme Court, putting in sums of money that no individual has put in a race like this in the state of Wisconsin. We have a chance to also vote for the superintendent. I'm supporting Jill Underly. I hope other people will too, because the same folks who support getting rid of the Department of Education at the federal level are the same exact people who are bankrolling Jill Underly's opponents. And we can't take a risk with our children. There's too much at stake. Now, depending on where you live, there may also be a school board election, aldermanic race. But every election is the most important election. I hope that this past November shows exactly why we have to get out every single time.
And I did confirm that Brittany Kinzer is slated to be Earl Ingram's guest across most of these Civic Media radio network stations. So overall, again, just a great event that we had last week. And Selena, thanks for talking to all those folks. Over the weekend, you took in an activity with a rather unusual title.
Yeah, you have to have some laughs during all of this, right?
Yes.
So I went to a show. It was in Minneapolis from the Brave New Workshop. And the show is called The World is Burning, So I Made S'mores. And it says it will show you how to enjoy the apocalypse. If you can't laugh at the world ending, what can you laugh at?
Great.
So if you need some laughs, I'd recommend.
If you need to laugh at the apocalypse, by all means. I mean, we need that. Again, trying to find that line of don't tune it all out, but also don't let it consume you entirely, and find that balance where you can. Kristen does it by riding her bike. You haven't started your 100-mile bike rides yet for the spring, have you?
No, I got out and did a couple loops, though, in northern Minnesota last week because it was so nice. And then the next day it was 8 degrees, their temperature. Go ahead, Selena.
Oh, no. Did you guys have some of that dirt everywhere from the Texas and Oklahoma storm being brought up over the weekend? And
I don't think it got this far up, though.
Rob was saying that it was in Tigerton, but we didn't have it up here or anything. Oh.
I know. I mean, it was very visible on the satellite photos, you know, coming up from Oklahoma. So, I mean, it was extremely impressive. Not nearly as impressive as this online debate that we've started at YouTube, where Alicia writes, I love coconut. Jesus loves coconut.
You don't know,
to
Alicia.
Greg's point of having to go find Jesus. Tony responds, if Jesus loved coconut, he would have put them everywhere, not just on islands. Does anyone actually like Almond Joy bars? No, they're awful.
No.
And Alicia, Tony, how dare you? I love Almond Joy. Kids,
can you kick Alicia out of the chat, please?
No.
Bad influence.
No.
On.
No.
Jesus is a bad influence. Children, look away.
Again, good job, we look to have a healthy debate here, and that's
coconut's not healthy.
High in fiber. Maybe you could use a little bit more fiber. You look a little constipated, Greg.
Greg is constipated.
And that is the end of Bach and the Doc, folks. The duo.
Actually, I think instead of Bach and the Doc, you could go with kind of, you know, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. You know, I mean, although you don't like Almond Joy or Mounds bars, do you?
No.
Oh. All right, we'll look for a new title. We'll workshop it.
It's tough love, Greg. It's tough love.
And there's a lot of
tough
love.
Tough noogies,
here.
I need them.
Kristen Lyerly, thank you. Selena Heller, thank you.
Happy Monday.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
You know, for most people, retirement brings about a celebration. But if you're a farmer, that's not always the case. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. You know, that normal celebration doesn't necessarily occur if you're a farmer retiring. A couple different reasons. The main one being, if I'm not a farmer, then who am I? Wesley Tucker is a University of Missouri Extension Farm Transition Specialist who was in Wisconsin last week during the Professional Dairy Producers Conference. He works with farmers to help them maintain their identity after retirement.
It is very difficult for a farmer to what we consider retire because they lose their identity with that. And so it's very, very common for farmers to hold on to very strongly the control of the operation as well as the ownership of the operation until they die, because they want to farm until they die, essentially. My education, I work a lot on helping them understand that they are still a farmer. They are still vitally important. They're actually probably more important in the role of a coach or a mentor to the next generation than they are whenever they are calling all the shots.
That's Wesley Tucker. He's a University of Missouri Extension Specialist. He said, trying to prepare yourself mentally for the transition that's going to happen when you retire from farming is critically important, not only for the farmer's mental health, but for the success of farm succession planning as well.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
And the Save Our Songbird organization in Wisconsin, hoping you'll pitch in and help to do what you can and keep birds from colliding with windows. A study out last year showed that in the United States, about 3.5 billion birds were killed by striking windows in that year alone. You can find out more details on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy and warmer today. We'll get to around 54 this afternoon. The wind will be a little breezy this morning, but it should die down by this afternoon. Tonight, 27. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 47 with snow in the afternoon. And again tomorrow night, there could be several inches by the time it winds down on Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
What do you think about Donald Trump firing 80,000 employees of the VA? Steve from Madison, also a veteran. I'm hearing from one of our conservative texters saying it's okay because it saves money.
How does it save money if it kills people? I mean, how many suicides are there amongst veterans? How many of our seniors need health care? I mean, you take away money from us and it kills us. That's what it does.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We will talk about the Wisconsin Badgers seed in the NCAA tournament and what makes you a target of the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Dan Schaefer is here now, political editor for Civic Media, and of course the founder of the Recombobulation Area. His latest essay is called "It's Up to Us, Wisconsin," which translation, we are the heroes. There ain't no cavalry. Dan Schaefer, hello, how are you?
Good morning, Mr. Kreitlow. Always a treat to join you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're by and large talking about the National Democratic Party. There's just a real crisis there. And while we try to focus mostly on Wisconsin politics and elected officials, you know, the, shall we say, the sluggishness of the National Party couldn't come at a worse time, at least in Wisconsin, where something pretty big here is happening in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from tomorrow. And yet, like you said, you know, we're the ones who have to take care of ourselves. What was it that prompted the article?
Well, I think, you know, just following what was happening last week with Chuck Schumer and the National Democrats' decision to not dig in and put up a fight in the one of the only moments that they're going to have any modicum of leverage. And I think, you know, it is just indicative of where we are right now. You know, we see the polling on the National Democratic Party. It's as low as it's been in a really long time, both from a national scale and in Wisconsin. And I think it's just a reminder of where we are right now, that, you know, folks like Chuck Schumer, if they're not up for the fight, then we have to be the ones to send a message to Donald Trump and to Elon Musk. And I think with this spring election that is just, we're hurtling towards the end game here. Early voting starts, I believe, tomorrow. And so we are right in crunch time for this pressure cooker election that is happening just 71 days after Donald Trump's inauguration. So I think everything in the political universe is being viewed through Trump's scorched earth return to office with Elon Musk and what's happening with Doge. And I think, you know, given Musk's central role now in the Trump administration and in funding Brad Schimmel's effort to win the race for Wisconsin Supreme Court, I think it is shaping up to be a referendum on what's happening at the national level because it is just so overwhelming right now. And I think it is, you know, I think what happened last week with National Democrats is just a reminder that it's going to have to be up to us. The cavalry is not coming. It is up to us to send a message. And we have a remarkable opportunity to do just that here in Wisconsin.
And the thing is, two things can be true at once here. As you write, Wisconsin is exhausted politically. Basically, from 2016 onward, it has just been big election after big election. And I'll recap that in a bit. But yeah, voters are exhausted. And yet, at the same time, like you say, current events dictate that even if this is the 15th round, you got to get off that little stool when the bell rings and you got to answer it. That's where you put the exhaustion behind you, which I think is probably going to motivate a lot of people who've been watching, you know, veterans getting fired and American permanent legal residents getting deported. It's a bit of a motivating factor for, you know, you and me, if it isn't going to be for National Party leaders.
And I think we, you know, everybody's going to always pay attention to what's happening, you know, in a swing state. And with this election coming at the time that it is, you know, there's so much happening right now. If there's going to be polls about what's happening, there's going to be media chatter about what's happening. But votes carry a lot more weight than any of that might. And what happens on April 1st will carry a tremendous amount of weight. Because if Wisconsin voters stand up and deliver a message by electing Susan Crawford on April 1st, it will be a sign to the nation and the world that people are rejecting the destruction and chaos of this new administration. And people want to see a check on what's happening. And I think, you know, as we're seeing now, checks and balances have never been more important.
The things that we used to take for granted, you know, democracy, exactly. Checks and balances, voting rights, little things like that, citizenship. Here's the parallel that I'm going to draw, and trust me, there's nothing, you know, Pollyanna about me when I say this, but when I and other people decided to run for legislature in 2005, 2006, again, there was no cavalry there. You know, John Kerry had been swift voted, you know, Dems were in disarray, as the cliche headline goes. Harry Reid was the Senate Democratic leader, hardly a whirlwind of activity there. And yet they had Howard Dean at the DNC. And if there was one thing you could always say about Howard Dean was that he was a fighter. It's like all the time you got to be on offense. And that was the message a lot of us took in 2006 and sent that message, had that referendum on the Bush administration, on the Iraq war, on all of that. And then, of course, it translated well, you know, 2 years later in the 2008 election. So it's not unheard of that Democrats and progressives are feeling particularly beat down, but they find that will to continue to fight. They just need a Howard Dean for today to say, get up, you can do this.
Yeah, I think people want to fight, you know, but the voters want the Democrats to bring a fight to the Trump administration, to Elon Musk. And if that's not going to happen in Congress, which doesn't seem like it is,
nope,
it's on us here in Wisconsin. And that was really the theme of the piece that I wrote. And I think, you know, we have talked about for so long about how important, tremendously important this race is for Wisconsin, you know, for the future of reproductive rights, of labor rights, education, the economy, all the stuff that we talked about in our panel discussions with Up North News last week in Madison. But I think given what's happening on the national scale, given how Elon Musk has been so central to this race, I think this is not just a tremendously important race for the state of Wisconsin. It's a tremendously important race for the state of the nation, and really having the voters let people know where they stand just, you know, just a few months into this new administration.
And if they're tired, I said before, I'd go into a little bit of detail, just looking back, because what you wrote about, you know, 2016, we all know about Hillary Clinton being, you know, accused of single-handedly losing Wisconsin and the election by not showing up. Since that time, you had a Supreme Court election in 2017 with Annette Ziegler, 2018 with liberal Rebecca Dallet winning, and Evers beating Scott Walker, and Josh Call beating Brad Schimmel. We'll come back to him. You had a Supreme Court election the next year in 2019, another one in 2020 with Jill Karofsky. You had Tony Evers running for re-election in 2022, Janet Protasiewicz in 2023, and of course the presidential election that just finished, and Tammy Baldwin running again. Now Brad Schimmel is up again. So in cycle after cycle, we see these national implications. There is no national Democrat. Look at all the surrogates who came last year. I mean, everybody knows this is where the action is. And as much as voters aren't crazy about very expensive races, they do know that they are valued like probably no other voter in the country.
Yeah, we're used to being in this place, I guess, right? Are the perennial canary in the coal mine of every political issue. Of course, it comes back to Wisconsin. Of course, we are going to be the first state to be, you know, casting ballots in the Trump 2.0 era. Maybe we are ready for this. Maybe we're built for this. You know, we have been tested before, as you said, as you go through that list. I think, you know, Wisconsin is so exhausted. Like last year, you know, I think everybody got the message that it's pretty important to be campaigning in Wisconsin last year. We were covering a whole lot of it here on Civic Media, Up North News, Recombobulation Area, everywhere else. But at the same time, it's, you know, and the ads are just relentless, and they're just, you know, so revolting on so many levels to see this just toxic political environment. We're so sick of this. You know, there's another piece that we ran at the Recombobulation Area not too long ago from Angela Lang talking about how these ads are really not that effective. But we can't let this exhaustion, this toxic environment get us down. We have to pick ourselves up and make this happen. Because what's waiting on the other side with a potential Schimmel victory is too perilous to even fathom. And right. I think for Elon Musk, too, if he sees that he can throw his Musk bucks around in a race like this, what's to stop him from doing so in any race, at any in any state, at any level? And I think it would just mean so much if, you know, if Musk putting so much money into this race, if Wisconsin voters stood up and rejected it, it would just send a powerful, powerful message that would really reverberate nationally.
It would. And I want to second Angela's column. I love her guest columns at the Recombobulation Area, and they are must reading. So get over to Dan's site and subscribe as well. Do you, would you offer up any advice in terms of, rather than waiting for the next surrogate, waiting for the next, you know, AOC or whatever to come, what people can do in Wisconsin other than don't stay home on April 1st?
Yeah, I think it is, you know, you have to think about like the turnout in these elections. So last fall, I think there was about, what, 3.4 million people in Wisconsin who voted in the presidential election. Well, there will probably be less than 2 million people who will be voting in the spring election. So, you know, those of us here who are in the media, in the mix, like we know that we have been focusing on this race for quite some time, talking about it all the time these last few months, but not everybody is as tuned into this. Yeah, I mean, we saw that in the most recent Marquette University Law School poll that most voters do not have strong opinions of the candidates that are running in this race. So it is going to come down to turnout. And so much of that turnout is people really just taking the time to remind your friends, remind your, you know, coworkers that there is an election coming up. And if people are frustrated with what's happening at the national level, if people are frustrated with what's happening with Elon Musk, you have an opportunity to do that. I think people can feel really helpless a lot of times. And I think especially at the national level, when, you know, people are calling their senators, wanting to make things happen. And as much as we have some strong representation here in Wisconsin with, you know, Tammy Baldwin voting no on the House budget bill last week and all of that, like, you can't always, you know, make a difference in the way that you want to. But in Wisconsin, we have this unique opportunity that we can make a difference. We can do something. We can send a message, and we can do that right now.
Oh, hey, by the way, as we look at the week ahead here, we note that Congress is off this week, and Mark Bocan put out a video saying, you know, every Republican member of Congress should be holding a town hall this week. Have you looked ahead? I know Tim Walz is coming to Eau Claire tomorrow to hold a town hall in Derek Van Orden's district. Are we aware of any Republican members of Congress having a big public town hall? Would it be a spoiler alert to say I shouldn't bet on it?
I wouldn't expect it. I mean, it seems like after the response that they got from the first couple town halls that they held, they're running scared from doing this. And this is just yet another reason that it's important for Wisconsinites to get involved in this spring election, because national Democrats, like we said, aren't bringing the fight the way we want to. Republicans aren't really wanting to meet their voters anymore. I think there was some Republican leadership that was saying that, like, hey, we shouldn't even hold these town halls. I know Derek Van Orden seems to be running scared from having any sorts of public interaction that's outside of the comfortable, safe campaign event. But I think that's just yet another reason that we can make a difference, because so many people want to be showing up at town halls, want to be, you know, holding their legislators accountable. And, you know, with Republicans running scared, there's not always going to be the opportunity to do that. So we have to be the ones to do it, to send that message here from Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's worth, folks, it's worth your while to go look up Derek Van Orden on Eau Claire TV from late last week. Again, basically attacking the reporters who were asking him, you know, pointed questions about the lack of town halls. And I believe if you turn it into a drinking game, be careful, because George Soros gets mentioned and all the usual suspects, rather than accountability. Well,
when I was talking about it on Twitter last week, he called me a communist. So it was, you know, it was just yet another ridiculous Twitter tirade from
he is
from
just
the third district
becoming a walking cliche. Yes. Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media and the Recombobulation Area. Dan, thank you for the time. I sure appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Pat. Be well.
All right. When we come back, Jane Matinier will have a preview of her shows this week with Greg right after this. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. More Trump administration mass layoffs at CISA have experts raising concerns over U.S. readiness for cyber attacks on election infrastructure and federal agency networks. An additional 100 in-house and contracted cyber specialists were reportedly terminated in March. The terminations raised the number of layoffs at the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency to an estimated 300, though new CISA leadership has denied recent layoffs. As we reported in February, a team assisting state election officials in improving and hardening election systems was laid off. VoteBeat reported March 11th that CISA's new leadership informed state election officials that it had suspended operations and funding for the Election Infrastructure Information Sharing and Analysis Center. In addition, a McCarthy-like effort is underway to purge CISA staffers who ran 2020 efforts to combat foreign and domestic disinformation in social media, some concocted by the Trump campaign and its allies. Reports in cybersecurity journals say that the latest layoffs involve so-called red teams, which pressure test the security of government networks. CBS News quoted one cybersecurity expert let go in February as saying about U.S. networks, "We're being targeted daily, hourly, and every single minute." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinair on Air.
Jane says that you should be listening to her show starting at 10 a.m. till noon across the Civic Media Radio Network, but first, listen to Earl Ingram, because coming up in the next hour here, he will have Brittany Kinzer, candidate for state superintendent of public instruction, on. Hopefully a follow-up to the chat that we started with her on Friday morning. And again, listen to that and then make your decision on who to vote for in that Department of Public Instruction state superintendent election on that date. Ms. Matinier will probably have a few more things to say about all of these elections between now and then. Yeah, she's nodding. Yep, that's what she does. That's how she rolls. Can't hear a word she's saying, but Greg, what did you do to Jane's microphone?
Check.
Now?
There we go.
Hey, hello there.
Yeah, someone is pressing buttons.
That's why I nod through my entire show. It's a it's a different tone when you can't hear.
It's a different
kind
of radio show.
We just
nod.
To the nodding, yep. But you get used to it after a while. Yes,
I get it. The listeners, it's a little frustrating at times, but it's okay.
Yeah.
On the text line from Steve in Milwaukee, you guys don't talk about Jasmine Crockett enough. Steve, guilty, because he heard me mention AOC in the last segment to Dan Schaefer, and Jasmine Crockett's name was like on the tip of my tongue, and I couldn't get it out. You know, you have that moment of doubt of, is it right? Is it Jasmine? Is it what? Yes, Jasmine Crockett is another rock star, and yes, we should be talking about her more as well. How was your weekend?
The weekend was good. The snow was unexpected. Well, no, not unexpected, because we knew it was coming. But when I got up yesterday morning, visibility was terrible.
Really?
Yeah. It's, yeah. But it's all melted away, at least on the sidewalks and everything. The roads are fine, so hopefully where you are. I was listening on the way in, Pat, and I heard Brittany say that the Northwest is going to get creamed again on, Tuesday into Wednesday?
Into Wednesday. Some parts of it will, yeah.
That lovely, heavy, wet, sloshy snow.
Well, you gotta feed into the cliche where everybody can go, yeah, you know, tournament time. You got to have that tournament snowstorm, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, it's not the tournament that did it.
It is also the season for frozen vegetables.
It is?
Related to March Madness.
Okay.
Are you unaware?
Oh, yes, yes.
You're aware of that.
Well, not personally, but yes. I know of which you speak.
It is the time of year.
Greg, are you still looking puzzled, or are you familiar with this?
I tuned out. What?
It is the time of year where if a man is going to go for a certain procedure and he has to have some recuperation time at home, March Madness is a good time for that. And then
you're just sitting on the couch.
You're just sitting on the couch
with a bag of frozen peas.
On a place where that might need some comfort.
Correct.
Yes.
Y'all are weird.
That's I'll explain it
please.
To you later.
We went from debating coconut to frozen peas for procedures.
When I'm here, I talk about the real issues, the things that you saw how heated Alicia and Tony got. I talk about real issues.
Yes. So tomorrow we'll have a debate about vasectomies. just to continue the analogy here. A comment on Facebook from Randy on our AI. Can AI supplement nurses? And Randy says yes, but you need eyes to see other things that patients don't tell you. AI is also not going to help someone in a nursing home take their pills, help them to the bathroom, pick them up when they fall. What we need is more respect, better pay, and better working conditions for the nurses. Hear, hear.
Amen. I'm sorry, but nurses don't get nearly enough credit. And I haven't spent a lot of time in hospitals, but the rare amount of time I have been there, they are the rock stars of hospitals.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, nurses and teachers should be getting, if you're ever going to have a wealth tax, which God knows we need on some of these billionaires.
Amen.
And these now billionaire athletes and hedge fund vulture capitalists, a big chunk of that ought to go just to nurses and teachers.
Yep.
And then the rest of us can get our share as well.
Yep.
But, it is so definitely needed here. What have you got coming up on the program?
We are going to be talking to Matt Wild at 10:30. We had been talking about people who are on Medicare. And it's Matt Wild.
Dave Wild.
Oh, Dave Wild, sorry. And we're going to talk
Jasmine Crockett. I mean, come on. We all have our issues.
We had been talking about people who are on Medicare and Medicaid and how important that is for them. And he has been, he has autism, he has MS, and he is also on Medicare. And he's a big advocate for people on Medicare and Medicaid. So we're going to talk about that. In hour number two, fingers crossed, it's our third shot at successfully pulling off Beyond the Cheese. We've had some last-minute snafus the last couple times we've tried to do this. This is where we highlight a business in Wisconsin outside of dairy. Today it is J. Hunt Henry and Sons Bourbon.
Oh.
Kind of nice for St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
You know, that kind of fits in a little bit. So hopefully we'll be talking to Josie coming up after the 11 o'clock news.
Yes, although, I mean, obviously your Irish whiskeys are going to take precedence today, your Jamesons and things like that. And I thought about as I was at a place over the weekend and they had, you know, regular Jameson and then they had, you know, your secret age blend or whatever. And then there was like this Jameson orange. It just reminded me of the old Burt Reynolds commercial, Don't Fruit the Beer. I don't know if you guys remember that, but it was Burt Reynolds and a bunch of other celebrities, and I think Miller Lite was doing it, and they were fighting this whole trend of, you know, fruit flavors in adult beverages.
Sure.
And just drink real beer. Well, of course, now we're drinking, you know, I love my Liney Summer Shandy with a little lemonade in there. Jameson now comes with orange. I think Fruit won with the adult beverages.
It was just a matter of time it was going to take over. I personally do not celebrate St. Patrick's Day. We're not Irish. Yep. We're German and French on my father's side and Lithuanian on my mother's side. So I am still waiting for I'm Half Lithuanian Day, where we dress as peasants and drink vodka with no ice, because who could afford ice?
You know, the food that goes along with that instead of corned beef and cabbage,
potatoes,
coconut, not coconut.
I hate everyone.
Greg and Jane are back at 10 o'clock. Thank you, Jane. Mr. Bach will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. as well. Hope you will. Thanks for joining us for Up North News Radio on this Monday morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Celebrate responsibly. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Dom Selvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat Harvey Kaye will discuss the capitulation by Senate Democrats on the continuing resolution. Should AOC primary Chuck Schumer? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Earl Ingram.
Today we are seeing the largest number of humanitarian emergencies since after World War II. We should be expanding our life-saving aid programs, not shutting them down during this time of crisis. I don't care where they come from. They are human beings. We weren't even having this conversation before 7 weeks ago, before Donald Trump took office, before a monster took office.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A big storm that spread across the southeast over the weekend left at least 40 people dead as a result of tornadoes, high winds, and the threat of wildfires. ABC's Jim Ryan has more on what happened.
Once the smoke had cleared in Stillwater, Oklahoma, population 50,000, 74 homes had been destroyed.
Been the biggest challenge of my life.
Terry Estery's been a Stillwater firefighter for 27 years. Now, as chief, he has seen his neighbors suffer.
They've lost everything. I mean, they don't have clothes hangers, and they don't have clothes to put on those hangers, even if they did.
Dry conditions and high winds mean the fire threat is far from over. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
That storm moving toward the coast today. High wind warnings are up from Florida through New Jersey. Fire threat continues today, as Jim said, from Texas up through the Dakotas. President Trump will speak with Russian President Vladimir Putin tomorrow, Moscow has confirmed, as efforts continue to end the war in Ukraine. Land and power plants said to be a part of the negotiations. This is ABC News.
I'm James.